The Third Wednesday in Lent, Fasting by St. John Chrysostom. St. Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God. Hast thou observed the wrestler? Hast thou observed the soldier? If thou art a wrestler, it is necessary for thee to engage in the conflict naked. If a soldier, it behooves thee to stand armed at all points for the battle. How then are both of these things possible? To be naked and yet not naked, to be clothed and yet not clothed. How? I will tell thee. Devisest thyself of worldly cares, and thou hast become a wrestler. Put on the spiritual armor, and thou hast become a soldier. Strip thyself of worldly thoughts, for the season is one of wrestling. Clothe thyself with the spiritual panoply, for we have a heavy warfare to wage with demons. And therefore, also it is needful we should be naked, so as to offer nothing that the devil may take hold of, while he is wrestling with us, and to be fully armed at all points, so as no one side to receive a deadly blow. Cultivate thy soul, cut away the thorns, sow the word of godliness. Nurse with much care the fair plants of divine wisdom, and thou hast become a husbandman. Sharpen thy sickle, which thou hast blunted through gluttony, sharpen it by fasting. Attempt the pathway which leads towards heaven, rugged and narrow as it is. Attempt it, and proceed onwards. And how mayest thou be able to do these things? By mortifying thy body, and bringing it into subjection. Keep down the waves of inordinate desires, repel the tempest of evil thoughts, preserve the bark, display much skill, and thou hast become a pilot. And the fast is our groundwork and guide to all of this. I speak not indeed of such a fast as many keep, but of real fasting, not merely an abstinence from meats, but from sins too. For the nature of a fast is such that it does not suffice to deliver those who practice it unless it be done according to a suitable law. For the wrestler, it is said, it is not crowned unless he strive lawfully. To the end, then we have gone through the labor of fasting, we forfeit not the crown of fasting. We should understand how, and after what manner, it is necessary to conduct this business. Since that Pharisee also fasted, but afterwards went down empty and destitute of the fruit of fasting. The publican fasted not, and yet he was accepted in preference to him who had fasted, in order that thou mayest learn that fasting is unprofitable, except all other duties follow with it. The Ninevites fasted, and won the favor of God. The Jews fasted too, and profited nothing, nay, they departed with blame. Since then the danger in fasting is so great to those who do not know how they ought to fast, we should learn the laws of this exercise, in order that we may not run uncertainly, nor beat the air, nor while we are fighting contend with a shadow. Fasting is a medicine, but a medicine, though it may never be so profitable, becomes frequently useless by the unskillfulness of him who employs it. And if when the body needs healing, such exactness is required on our part, much more ought we, when our care is about the soul, and we seek to help the distempters of the mind, to look and to search into every particular with the utmost accuracy. Fasting consists not in abstinence from food only, but in a separation from sinful practices. Since he who limits his fasting only to abstinence from meats is one who especially disparages it. Dost thou fast? Give me proof of it by thy works. It is said by what works? If thou seest a poor man, take pity on him. If thou seest an enemy, be reconciled to him. If thou seest a friend gaining honor, envy him not. Let not the mouth only fast, but also the eye, and the ear, and the feet, and the hands, and all the members of our bodies. Let the hands fast, by being pure from rapine and avarice. Let the feet fast, by ceasing from running to forbidden pleasures. Let the eyes fast, being taught never to fix themselves on curious or unholy delights. Let the ear fast also. The fasting of the ear is not to receive evil speakings and calumnies. Let the mouth too fast from disgraceful speeches and railing. For what doth it profit if we abstain from birds and fishes, and yet bite and devour our brethren? Thou hast not fixed thy teeth in the flesh, but thou hast fixed the slander in the soul. Thou hast harmed in a thousand ways thyself and thy neighbor and many others, for in slandering a neighbor thou hast made him who listens to the slander worse. For should he be a wicked man, he becomes more careless when he finds a partner in his wickedness. And should he be a just man, he is lifted up to arrogance and puffed up, being led on by the sin of others to imagine great things concerning himself. It is not, therefore, to go through the fast if we merely go through the time, but if we go through it with amendment of manners. Let us consider this, whether we have become more diligent, whether we have corrected any of our defects, whether we have washed away our sins. It is common for everyone to ask in Lent, how many weeks each has fasted? And some may be heard saying that they have fasted 2, others 3, and others that they have fasted the whole of the weeks. But what advantage is it if we have gone through the fast devoid of good works? If another says, I have fasted the whole of Lent, do thou say, I had an enemy, but I was reconciled. I had a custom of evil speaking, but I put a stop to it. I had a custom of swearing, but I have broken through this evil practice. It is of no advantage to merchants if they have gone over a great extent of ocean, but if they have sailed with a freight and much merchandise, the fast will profit us nothing. If we pass through it as a mere matter of course, without any result. If we practice a mere abstinence from meats, when the 40 days are past, the fast is over too. But if we abstain from sins, this still remains, even when the fast has gone by, and will be from this time a continual advantage to us, and will here render us to no small recompense before we attain unto the kingdom of heaven. For as he who is living in iniquity, even before hell hath punishment, being stung by his conscience, so the man who is rich in good works, even before the kingdom, attains exceeding joy, and that he is nourished with blessed hopes.